You're listening to KVMR FM in Nevada City, and this is Helena McDaniel with Parents Connect. Stay tuned for our guest, Dr. William Emerson and Anna Maria Pierce, and we will be speaking about the effects of birth trauma, and we'll have a conversation, and we look forward to a wonderful hour of discussion. Stay tuned. Hey, Dr. Emerson, it does take a whole village to raise a child, and we're glad that we've got folks like you to help us all out. This is Parents Connect, and we want to take every opportunity that we can to give that support to parents. And when we can learn a little bit more about what we can do about our children's birth and our own birth, this is an amazing step in the support of our parents in the community. Good day to you, Dr. Emerson. So Dr. William Emerson is a PhD in teacher, writer, and lecturer. He's a pioneer in the field of prenatal psychology. He's involved with the recovery and transformation of problems that stem from birth traumas. He is a pioneer in the treatments of methods about birth trauma in both infants and children, and an expert in treatment methods for adults, recognized worldwide in his contributions. He conducts treatment and training seminars throughout the United States and Europe, and he will be here in Nevada City on Friday at 7 p.m. at the Living Yoga Center. So you can, we'll be telling you more about that, but it's so amazing to have him here. He's published lots of articles, and Dr. Emerson, you have a new book out, is that correct?
I do indeed.
And it's called?
It's called Healing Our Children, Healing Ourselves, and the subtitle is The Dark Side of Childbirth.
The Dark Side of Childbirth. I had heard that it was called The Dark and Light Side of Childbirth, but you, amazing title. Say that again.
It's Healing Our Children, Healing Ourselves, The Dark Side of Childbirth, and the subtitle may be The Dark and Light Side. The publisher and I are negotiating with that.
Okay, since we have a wonderful discussion ahead of us, I always begin Parents Connect with the Hopi Prophecy, so join in with me today, Dr. Emerson. In this, we will dedicate to birth and the healing of birth, the Hopi prophecy. You have been telling the people that this is the 11th hour. Now you must go back and tell the people this is the hour. And there are things to be considered. Where are you living? What are you doing? What are your relationships? Are you in right relationship? Where is your water? Know your garden. It is time to speak your truth, create your community, and be good to each other. And do not look outside of yourself for the leader. And the Hopi clasped his hands together and smiled. This could be a good time. There is a river flowing now very fast. It is going so swift that there are those who will be afraid. They will try to hold on to the shore. They will feel that they are being torn apart and will suffer greatly. Know that the river has its destination. The elders say that we must let go of the shore, push off into the middle of the river, keep our eyes open and our head above the water. And the Hopi says, see who is there with you and celebrate. At this time in history, we are to take nothing personally, least of all ourselves. For the moment that we do, our spiritual growth and our journey comes to a halt. The time of the lone wolf is over. Gather ourselves, banish the word struggle from our vocabulary, and all that we do now must be done in a sacred manner and in celebration, for we are the ones that we have been waiting for. So, Dr. Emerson, this is what we want to say to the coming baby.
What a wonderful welcome and lesson that would be.
Yes, yes. There's so much that I've learned just from the little bit that I've read about you, your understanding of who the child is and coming. How do we go about helping those who are attending births and parents and ourselves understand how to help birth become less traumatic?
Well, the first step and the most important step is to break a cultural attitude that's existed for over a century. In the last century, early on, and in the 1800s, people actually believed that babies had a life, that babies were aware and conscious. And then John Locke, who's a philosopher theorist, he brought in this tabula rasa theory and basically said, when babies are born, they're just a blank slate. So at birth, we start writing on them. But nothing could be further from the truth.
What year was that, Dr. Emerson?
Locke's theory came out in the 1940s, 1930s, somewhere around there.
And the American, the EPA, the International Perinatal Association, and this new, when did that begin? Is that when things shifted?
No, actually, the APA, the Association for Pre- and Perinatal Psychology and Health, that began in 1982 or 84.
That recent.
But since that organization started, things have really started to roll and to pick up. We're basically educating professionals, non-professionals, and parents about childbirth. The main issue is we have to educate parents and medical personnel that babies are conscious and aware of what's going on, not only at birth, before birth, and that has huge implications for how they should be treated during childbirth and before birth.
Dr. Emerson, for those of us that have always known this since we were young children, it's hard to believe that someone attending a birth would not understand the consciousness of the baby or would think that was empty. Is that really true? Is that your experience, that you find that folks...
We'll put it this way. A recent survey published in, some prominent magazine, sorry, I'm forgetting it right now, the New York Times, I think, found that 63% of Americans believe that their current life has nothing to do with their childhood, that history has no impact. So that's a huge cultural bias that we're operating against. And of course, there are people who know that babies are aware and conscious, and I do want to add and emphasize that I'm sitting here with tons of research. I'm not going to cite research today, but if anybody wants references and citations that prove that babies are aware and conscious, that's the first step that we need to take.
We could talk about Dr. David Chamberlain, who's written the book.
Of course.
In communications with the unborn child.
Yes, his book is The Mind of Your Newborn Baby, and it was the earlier book. Earlier editions of the book was called Babies Remember Birth, and in that book he has lots of clinical research and observations that show clearly that babies do remember birth.
And I have spoken with a large number of four-year-olds that tell me about their birth.
Yeah.
And I have a good friend, Nancy Jewell Poor, who's pulled together stories, and some of us that go to try to do healing around birth go to some kind of memory. How do you access this deeper place that you need to go? You're going to tell us on Friday all about how you've accessed places where people can heal the trauma of their birth. Is this something you'd like to go into today?
Yeah, I just mentioned a few things about that. first of all, the technique you use to access birth memories or prenatal memories differ. They're different for babies, of course, than they are for children and adults. The techniques are considerably different, and it takes some time to explain that, but perhaps the simplest thing to say would be that if you're an adult, using natural, what I call organic techniques, works very well. For example, if you do a yogic depth relaxation and some deep breathing, in no time at all, very spontaneously, within 15 or 20 minutes, the majority of adults will begin to have body memories or cognitions or perceptions or felt senses of what was happening during birth.
They will feel it in their head and in their spine. And
yeah, all throughout the body. Obstetrician David Cheek was also a hypnotherapist, and he hypnotized adult clients and regressed and invited them verbally to go back to your birth.
Right.
And make the movements that you thought that you made during birth. And 85% of his patients replicated and duplicated the exact movements and postures of their birth. That's pretty impressive.
Wow.
So they're what's called, that's called a body memory. But there are also emotional memories, there are cognitive memories, and there are imagery memories, that your birth comes back to you in pictures.
So I can go on Friday evening this week and hear about this, and I could also spend 5 hours with you and and experience my birth and heal it to some degree.
What usually happens is that on the public evening, which I believe is Friday.
Yes, it's Friday at 7 o'clock at the Living Yoga Center.
Usually in communities, parents bring their kids and their cousins, and basically I can teach you how to evaluate whether you have unresolved birth trauma or not. It's a very straightforward, simple process. It's something you can do with yourself and with your partners. And then once it's verified that you do have unresolved birth trauma, then I can teach you some self-help techniques and other procedures to help to heal that.
Wow.
It doesn't get healed in one evening or one workshop, but there's a lot of work that you can personally do on yourself to heal
ongoing
birth trauma.
And people are finding that there are many kinds of disorders that are, what kinds of disorders are associated with birth trauma?
Well, there are so many, but I'll just name some categories.
Right.
One of them, very near and dear to me, is because I'm a very spiritual person, and I have another book, and I teach workshops called Healing the Wounds of Spirit and Soul, and it turns out that there is such a thing as spirit and soul wounding. It turns out that trauma and severe trauma and all levels of trauma are, in fact, a very dense energy in the body. If they form a density, for example, the cerebral spinal fluid is thicker, and the tissues are thicker and more tense, and so forth. So, what's true then is that you're a person's own soul, which is their calling for coming to life, and a person's own embodied spirit are inaccessible, and so it really impacts religiosity, spirituality, and and energy, vitality, creativity, all kinds of things. So it impacts, excuse me, my throat's a little rough today. So it impacts spirit and soul.
So those of us working with a group of kindergartners, we can tell, and sometimes we use the term, you know, this child is not as much in their body, and we try to do as much exercise and singing and movement and dance in order to help them incarnate, is the terms that we use.
And wonderful word.
And many of us still haven't incarnated fully because our body, what you're saying, is not receptive enough to the full soul and spirit of our being. And if we can learn tools that will access, are you getting help from what hasn't all the way incarnated? Is that part of where the healing comes from?
Exactly.
So that every person wants to incarnate all the way onto the earth. But,
exactly.
And so those of us that are attending at the birth want to invite the child to come in as best they can,
exactly.
Right? So there are quite a number of practices that would be quite simple that a birth attendant, both a doula, the mother, the father, and the MD, could you give us a few things that all of those people could practice that would help with this transition from the non-earth to the earth?
One of the most important things, and this has a strong scientific research basis, I just want to name that research shows that babies born at home have a much better chance of being fully incarnated and fully in their bodies and without stress hormones, and babies born in hospitals have a much more likelihood of, in fact, having unstable, abnormal levels of cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And the cortisol isn't just there after birth, it remains in babies' bodies for, according to some research studies, for 4 years, up to 8 years, and even into adulthood. One of the things they found is that cortisol impairs physical health greatly. It slows down metabolism, it shuts down the immune system, it creates inflammation. They're associated with allergies, infections, cancer, lupus, cardiovascular problems, hypertension. I could go on and on. One of the worst things that can happen is to have cortisol in the system. What cortisol responds to is how you can normalize cortisol in a baby being born or after birth is through by compassion.
Right. So if I'm intending a birth, if I just say to the child as she comes, boy, I know that was hard.
Yes.
This is a difficult transition. Just that empathy?
That is empathy.
For the attending doctor, for the mother, the father, that says deeply in your heart, you let the child know no matter what the birth was, you've come through this. This has been challenging. This is what we do for a child who's having a temper tantrum. You sit over there, you put some light over them, and you say, I know that, that coming onto the earth is a challenge. And they stop their temper tantrum. So if you do this at birth, like I had three home births, and of course they were all ecstatic. I had those orgasmic births, and I encourage every woman to have orgasmic births because, you know, orgasms are wonderful, but the birth orgasms is the highest. So if we have that, we still can give compassion to the child. So whatever we can do to create that attitude of, you've made it, this has been hard. Is that what you're speaking about?
Exactly. And I think what's true, those of you who know what doulas are,
yes.
excuse me again, we actually need a doula for babies because the mother is very busy during birth taking care of her body and following her instincts and trying to birth the baby. So we need somebody to say to a baby, for example, one baby had shoulder dysocia, which means the shoulder was stuck on the maternal pelvis, and he just was stuck, and fetal distress was increasing, his cardiac rhythms were moving around. So the baby doula, who was a trainee of mine, says to the baby, you're probably really scared right now because you can't move and you can't seem to descend any further. And we're with you. We know you're scared, but we'll help. We'll figure this out for you. So just take it easy and relax. And I'm here for you, and we're here for you.
Wow.
And quite often, the EFM, the fetal monitors, will go, phew, they'll just normalize. The stress will go away immediately.
So now there is a new element to the doula, a doula that is there just for the unborn, and to be there through, and then have a different doula for the mother.
Yes, exactly. And I really don't like the distinction, and I don't like having postpartum doulas and pre. Doulas should be for the mother all during gestation, during the birth, and after birth. And there should be similarly be a doula for babies. I have, for example, in Europe, there's research that just happened now with 1,200 women who were provided with baby doulas and mother doulas during the pregnancy, and were helping mother and baby to share imagery back and forth.
Wow.
And this research study found, one of the things it found is that cesareans have dropped from in the 20s down to below 10%. Preterm births have gone from 7%, which is not bad because we're about 13% in the United States. Preterm births, one of the most serious complications that exists in childbirth, they went from 7% down to less than 1% in Germany just by using these doulas or people to communicate between mother and baby and help mother and baby to communicate through imagery. So there's a lot that can be done to prevent birth trauma and cortisol and facilitate incarnation and facilitate spirit and soul emergence at birth and after birth. So you need to start working prenatally, basically, not just at birth.
Right. Wow. The effects of birth on relationships is one of the things that Dr. Emerson is going to speak about on Friday night. So we can do things before the birth to help avoid the trauma. We can also do things now, as we, many of us know, we've had ourselves trauma at birth or our children. So you can bring your spouse, your partner, your friends, family information to an enlivening evening and a public lecture that is free. And that will be at the Living Yoga Center, and I'm going to give out the phone number for that so we remember, 470-8851. And then on Saturday, there'll be 5 hours with Dr. Emerson, and people could expect to learn personally how to create some tools to heal their birth traumas.
One of the things we do, Helena, is we teach parents how to play birth games with their children. And there's all kinds of birth games. And so what actually will happen is after a workshop like that, parents will go on for 3 or 4 months with a particular kind of a, for baby, the birth games are quite different, but they are games. They're playful, they're fun, and they can be challenging, but it's done very carefully and straightforward. But basically, parents will do that for a while, and then I'll probably be back in your area again and could teach some more, but it's a very effective process for helping babies and kids. You mentioned how interventions can affect personality.
Right.
Affect personality. For example, I used to be a school psychologist, and one of the things a teacher would say, many times a teacher would say, you know, this child is just, he's stubborn. He's just resistant. If I ask him to do something, he'll say no. If I tell him to do something, he'll say no. If I pressure on him to get him work on his schoolwork, he'll have a tantrum, so he'll have to go to time out. And it's just, what is going on? I said, sounds to me like a forceps baby. She
yes.
Said, what?
Yeah. Well, this is what we do when we bring our kindergartners in. We ask the parents to do a very detailed story of the birth of that child.
Oh, wonderful.
In order to help them to see where some of that personality is coming from. But so why would it be, why would the stubbornness be like he just, that's an interesting.
Well, people who are born with forceps often feel like, first of all, they often feel like they were doing fine by themselves and they were getting born. And all of a sudden, this cold steel clamps around the head and they get yanked around and out. And so they often feel yanked around in life.
Right. So they want to stand up for themselves and say, what about me and what my potential is?
Years ago, I was in the Berkeley during the free speech movement and so forth, and
mm-hmm.
and the Vietnam War. Even back then, I knew how to, and was teaching people how to read forceps trauma, other kind of trauma in the body. You can actually, there are visual protocols where you can look at a cranium and say, this baby or this adult was born by forceps. And I can't tell you the number of the rowdy people on these marches were all those people who were born by forceps.
Some of us, you can actually feel the indentation in your head.
Exactly.
No, with me you can.
Yeah.
So that's why people know why I'm a radical now.
Yeah.
It's all because of those forceps.
Can't wait to get my hand on your head, Helena.
Really. No, I'm really looking forward to this coming weekend.
Yeah, me too.
Now, one of the quotes that I wanted to bring out today that just really took my heart away, this is a quote from Dr. William Emerson. If I had a choice of adopting a traumatized or an untraumatized baby, I would definitely adopt a traumatized infant. This is because the process of trauma resolution not only resolves this trauma, but it offers opportunities for character development, bonding, and attachment that would otherwise not be available. So when we look at trauma, we don't have to go, you know, this is all bad. We look at it as an opportunity. Is that what you're saying here, Dr. Emerson?
I'm saying that you stated it very well, and I'd like to elaborate a bit. I've spent years following up babies who were birth traumatized and who could not be treated because they moved away or for whatever reason. And I've been following babies up who had no birth trauma at all. And as I followed un-birth traumatized babies, as I followed them up, one of the things that really pissed me off and also made me jealous was that their life was so effortless in a certain way, and they were not particularly psychologically minded. Like one day, I took a walk with a girl, 12-year-old redheaded British girl, walked in Putney Park. It wasn't Putnam. Anyway, and I said, what'd you do last night? She says, well, I just gave this speech. And I said, well, what's for? And she says, well, it was in the city auditorium, and there's about 10,000 people there.
Wow. A 12-year-old.
Yeah, 12-year-old. And I said, well, did you get nervous? She says, no, why? And
wow.
Basically, her life was just a series of opportunities, and everything for her was just easy. And she had one of the most, she was among about 100 to 200 babies I followed up who didn't have birth trauma, and they were all very similar in that way. And so I actually realized that birth trauma is a teaching, and some famous person once said, nothing builds character like the encounter with one's own suffering. Doesn't mean you're supposed to suffer in life, but if you do suffer, that encountering with your own struggles is, in fact, and can be, character building and character deepening. And it can actually be help a person to open to deeper aspects of themselves and to be more introspective and more searching for meaning than otherwise. So I see trauma as a gift. Not as a hindrance.
This is such an important attitude for us to take up at this time.
Mm-hmm.
As we're coming out of the think positive, which I never could get into, I never wanted to deny, because my life has been a bit challenging, besides the 4 pounds I was when I was born and the Rh negative and positive. You know, you start with that, and, you know, 100 people dying in your life or whatever. And if you can embrace it with it, like, wow, now I'm getting another opportunity, or here's my grain of sand, and I'm going to take my soul forces and put it around that, and I'm going to have a pearl. And if we teach our children this rather than to avoid things that are challenging in life.
Exactly.
So this is a good way to take up this idea that I'm going to heal my birth trauma, not with a, oh, woe me, but now look at the opportunity I get.
Yes. Exactly.
And so it looks like you can give people this. This is a part of what you would need to do in order to take on the idea that you're able to heal something.
I might give an example from my own life, because oftentimes people like to want to know how I got into this work. So this sharing will serve a couple purposes. One is, when I was born, my twin sister died 12, well, she died after birth. I didn't know how many hours after birth.
Wow.
And that's all I knew about the story. And when I was in my late teens and high school and 4 years of college and for a few years afterwards, I was in a series of serial relationships with women where I would have a girlfriend, I would never be happy with who she was, I'd break up with her, and then I'd have another girlfriend all prepared. And one of my friends said, "Wait, what are you doing? Why don't you spend some time with us and yourself?" And I said, "I don't know, I just feel compelled for some reason." Well, I went into therapy, and the hypnotherapist said, "Go back to some time in your life. It'll help you understand why you're serializing your relationships with women." And I realized not only was I serializing, but when I was romantically attracted to a woman, I would turn them into sister-brother relationships by, in fact, calling them sister and inviting them to call me brother.
Wow. So and then you'd bring on the next woman in order to create your sister,
exactly,
create your sister.
Trying to find my sister. And basically,
wow.
I was unhappy because who could... There's nobody who could have ever met the psychic and the depth of the relationship my twin sister and I had. We had an extremely intimate relationships in the utero. We read each other's thoughts. You know, we slept together, quote. We ate together, quote. Anyway, after I did my work, I regressed back there. I grieved her loss. I kept a record. And, for example, I had the following kinds of memories. Well, I won't go through all of them, but I'll just say that my memory was that my sister died about 12 hours after birth. That was confirmed by medical records. My memory was that I weighed less than a pound at birth.
You did?
My memory was that my sister weighed a couple ounces less than me. And my therapist said that this can't be possible. But I went to medical records, and I wasn't weighed for a week because they expected me to die because my twin sister died. And people who were present around the time of birth were told that I weighed less than a pound at birth.
Oh,
that confirmed the memory.
I knew you were a miracle when I read some of your stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, William.
I was in an incubator for 6 weeks and with no visitation from parents because they wouldn't allow it, so I was never breastfed. My mom wanted a girl, and she lost her girl and never had another child, so I was a huge disappointment. Anyway, that was a learning experience for me because every single memory I wrote down, I've got about 20 memories that I came up with were all confirmed by medical records or those present and around the time of birth. So my reason for starting to treat babies was that I wanted to try and prevent them having to struggle through symptoms and treat that trauma before, in fact, it ever became problematic for babies. So I developed ways of treating babies, a very effective way for treating babies, and
So when you began this work, you actually spoke with the babies in utero. That was your beginning of the work, rather than healing people later in life.
No, I only started working with babies about maybe 15. When did I start?
You've been doing this for a while.
I've been doing it for a while, yeah.
But the story about why you're doing it just makes your heart drop.
Uh-huh.
You've got a depth of an understanding that only come from an amazing cosmic place. Wow.
The other thing that happened, Helena, is that after I finished grieving my twin sister's loss, I actually was able to, first of all, I became more spiritual. Every bit of trauma you can resolve really deepens you into a center where you're calm and still and you're creative and whatever. But when I healed that trauma, I actually came more into contact with her. I began having dreams, and I felt a sense of connection with her from time to time. So it's almost like, in a certain way, I got her back.
That's amazing, because these relationships are not just on the earth. And those of us that experience this, mm-hmm. once somebody is on the other side, you know, a mother or a sister, mm-hmm. or, you know, which I was given that experience as a young person also.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a depth and breadth of our life experience mm-hmm. that is possible for all of us to have.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we are speaking here on KBMR and Parents Connect with Dr. William Emerson. And I am so happy that you've told us this story about about your beginnings with your work. He will be leading us in a one-day workshop, Resolving Infant Birth Trauma, and giving us tools, ways that doulas and parents and midwives can prevent and treat infant birth trauma. He will give a talk on Friday evening on the 15th at 7 o'clock. That is a free talk at the Living Yoga Center. The number to call is 470-8851. And Dr. Emerson, there's just so much to speak about. Could you give us, you know, just a little bit more of what happens to a person? You've given your own example, but have you seen a lot of people whose lives have expanded into more of their potential by taking on the idea of moving the birth trauma into less of an effect in their lives?
Mm-hmm. That's my whole life's work I've been doing. Yeah, I've got 25, 30 years of case studies. For example, a woman who had migraine headaches, she pretty much her whole life, when she experienced the crushing pressures, more or less like in a dream state, because sometimes when you do regressions, it's kind of like a dream state. You kind of, it's almost like you're semi-asleep because you get so relaxed. And you know, basically her headaches gradually dissipated as she resolved the trauma of a very intense physical compression during her.
So most people feel a change in their life after doing this work around their birth.
There's huge changes, Helena. The cortisol levels normalize, for one. The cranial shape changes. The cranial shape normalizes, so you've got a skeletal muscular system changes. So, for example, people who have had chronic back problems, lordosis, scoliosis, that shifts.
Right.
And I'd say in about 80% of the cases, it's about 20% of the cases where the results aren't as profoundly positive, but there people are still substantively happy with what they accomplished. So,
and this idea that our potential is there waiting. We've not all of us is here yet. So whatever we can do to create the strongest incarnation in this life, it's like, what am I going to do with this little life? I'm going to be here as much as I can be, right?
Yes, and I've worked with people who were actually dying and old elderly people before, and it's true for them, it's true for middle-aged people, it's true for kids, that once you resolve a certain amount of your unresolved trauma, your own soul becomes accessible to you through imagery. Mm. Imagery is the language of the soul. That basically means that you have the experience of actually finding out who you truly are, and that finding oneself out is incredibly powerful. It's transform, life-changing. People feel secure and happy. They right. know what they want to do in life, and if they haven't done it, they start making some changes to do that. For example, one man realized that he had always wanted to be a sculptor, and he couldn't do that because he was a physician, and he wasn't give up being a physician. But he started spending weekends sculpting, and he was just so much more relaxed during the week, and he'd bring his sculptures to his office and give them away as presents. And so he began to actually be soul fulfilled.
Yes. Well, Dr. Emerson, I am so happy that you will be coming here this weekend. The author of Healing Our Children, Healing Ourselves, The Dark Side of Childbirth. When will that be available, Dr. Emerson?
Minutes.
Minutes.
It's actually going through.
And can you tell us how it will be available? Do you have a website? We want to give the phone number again, 470-8851, for this weekend. Mm-hmm. But you, in general, I know we're going to do a little link between Parents Connect and your website, but will you give that to us?
Yes, actually, all people would need to do is Google Emerson, and I'll come right up, and you can go to my webpage, and it'll be announced on the website. So, and I'll also be circulating lots of postcards and so forth. So, and I'll provide a link for your station.
Thank you so much, Dr. Emerson. We are going to have Anna Maria Pierce, who's our local intuitive healer, is going to give us a little closing to our day today. So, we will see you on Friday, and we will look forward to more people in Nevada County actualizing their potential because of the tools that we're learning from you. And I don't think that's an overstatement from what I'm getting. And And I really appreciate your time today, and have a easy trip. Where are you coming from?
San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
A couple hours.
Yeah, so just don't get caught in that Friday traffic. Let one of us take you out to lunch or something on Friday.
I'll leave early.
Yeah. So you do, because there can be a very quick trip up the mountains or a slow one, depending on the time of your departure.
Okay, thank
you. So we want to thank Dr. Emerson, and we look forward to seeing you.
Thank you, Helena.
Enjoy your day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.